One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Generic Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. That is Dave Callens.
Hey.
And Mr. Bobby Timothy.
Woo, good to be back.
It's great to be back. So I guess we got a bunch to catch up on because the last two episodes, weren't they? Those were all pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded.
We've been gone for 2 weeks.
You're giving away our secrets, man. They had no idea.
Oh, I think they had a small idea.
What stupid reason would we have to be off the air for 2 whole weeks?
That's right. I got married and I went on my honeymoon and it was fantastic. Did you guys have fun at the wedding?
Had a blast. The wedding was amazing. It was so much fun.
It was great. It was in Vegas. I obviously didn't want to be away from my young son for too long, so I actually flew in the same day as the wedding and then ended up flying out the next morning. What I love is that literally like 2 months before we got there, Vegas legalized recreational weed. So on the walk to your wedding venue, I just popped into one of the stores, got way too powerful and edible, ate a lot of it, and then shared the rest with everybody at my wedding table, and we had, let me just say, a fantastic time.
I could tell you were on a good one at the reception.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, I was on a great one at the reception.
Because there was a photo booth, and I received those photos. And
I forgot about those.
Half of them have Bobby in some weird hat or glasses he picked up off the table.
He did one where we set it up so it looked like he was shooting me in the neck with a blow dart gun.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. We did a lot. By the way, the one that's just a finger flipping you off, that's also me.
Yeah. I figured so.
Dude, I could tell Bobby was on it, though. Like, towards the end of the reception, is everyone, like, all the festivities are over. We're all just kind of, like, winding down and getting ready to go party later. And Bobby was, like, a whirling dervish just running around, like, dude, there's a Dirty at 12:30 show. You want to see if we can get on the show? Let's do some comedy. Hey, who wants to go on the roller coaster, top of Stratosphere? No, the roller coaster's off. Let's do this. Hey, you guys want to do the zip lines? He was like a child that had too much sugar on Christmas morning.
Yeah, I think I it was, like, too much sugar, but with THC. I had hit one of those things where I think I had, like, I don't know, 50 or 60 milligrams of THC in that edible before the wedding. And again, great wedding. It was my favorite wedding.
Speaking of too much sugar, there was also one table. I don't know if you guys interacted with any of these guys. I invited my close friends from my old high school wrestling team.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
All of them brought way too much cocaine and did all of it. And here's the thing about those guys, and I love them very much, but they're already kind of a lot to deal with, just without any type of drugs.
Right.
And once I found out that a gigantic sack of cocaine was being circulated around that table, I was like, oh no. And so they definitely lived up to the hype of what I thought it might look like if they did that much amphetamine.
Absolutely.
So there was that. Now, the thing is about the wedding was I went into it with a very careful mentality, which is to not expect perfection.
Right.
And I try and hold that in all walks of life. If you expect perfection, you're just going to set yourself up for disappointment.
And you don't want to be groomzilla.
Yeah, right. I didn't want that either, you know. But, you know, I'm like, all right, there's going to be fuck-ups,
right.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Expect for fuck-ups. And furthermore, don't hyper focus on just the fuck ups,
right.
You know. I'm like, focus on all the things that go right. However, now that it's over, I can throw a few out there that was kind of a wrench in my program. Starting with the weekend before.
Wow.
I woke up on Monday morning before my wedding, which was going to be in Vegas, to find out the worst tragedy in recent American history had unfolded at the Mandalay Bay. There'd be just right blocks from where I'm getting married, the worst mass shooting in American history took place. So that was...
First of all, let me qualify modern American history, because we don't count all the times we massacred Indians. That's why they always say modern American history.
Right.
And so, you could tell, too, like, for the couple days we were in Vegas, like, there wasn't really, like, any sort of veil of gloom or anything like that, but there was fewer people than you're used to seeing. It was a little bit light.
It was kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know what's something that came of that is my best man, Carlos, he was driving out. This is a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants kind of guy.
Yes.
He doesn't like to plan ahead a lot.
Right.
So on his drive out to Vegas, he's like, oh, I should probably book a hotel.
Yeah.
And then he thought, and I applaud him for this. Please don't judge him. He thought, man, Mandalay Bay's got to be cheap,
right?
Huh?
It's got to be cheaper.
So he calls Mandalay Bay and says, hey, man, how much for a room this weekend? And they went, we'll give you two nights for free. And he goes, if I do what? And he if you stay here, yeah, just please, oh thank you God. For calling.
Yeah.
So they're like, he's like, what kind of room? Like, a suite. Do you mind if the window's kind of broken?
Yeah.
No, but like, how do you feel about carpet stains?
Yeah.
No, they're like, yeah, just please stay here. And like, while he was there, like, he told me, like, I'm like, you just called them? They said, yeah. And he's like, yeah, they just want me to be in the casino, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I think with those hotels anyway, the casino, the pool bar, and the restaurants, that's where they make their scratch. Like,
yeah.
Whatever they make on these rooms is like extra.
Yeah. I would love it if Carlos was the kind of guy, he's definitely not, but if he was the kind of guy who just misinterpreted that and thought that he was such a cool person that they really wanted him to be there.
Yeah.
I am kind of a big deal in Vegas.
I think they think I'm a sultan of some kind.
I'm going to play him against the Luxor, see who's got a better deal.
Yeah, it was funny. So, like, during your wedding, we actually saw some of those mess-ups. We saw, for instance, they played the wrong song, like, as it started.
Right before the actual wedding, yeah.
And I saw this hint in your eye of... Oh, fuck, God damn it. And
well, here's the thing. I wouldn't mind just the wrong song, but the thing is, I went over it with them 3 times beforehand, and I said the following. All right, there's 2 songs you're going to play, one when Aaron comes out, once when we all leave together. They are titled the same. Here's how you tell them apart. This one says this, this one says that. Now, you're going to be tempted to hit this one. Don't do that. Now, here's how the first one sounds, and I played it for him. Hear that? Real slow. Here's how the second one sounds. Hear that? Real fast. So if you accidentally make a goof up, I get it, but now you know that you're playing the wrong one because I've showed you both of them. And all of a sudden, he played the wrong one, as I knew he would, and then I looked over at him, and he just smiled back at me.
Oh, God.
I'm like... Now I'm signaling him to him like, you have the wrong one. He's like, I don't know what possible signal you could be giving me right now.
It's the signal for good job, obviously. That's the signal.
Exactly.
Dude, I'm going to throw myself and our friend John Groobs under the bus on this one. I think we're going to take the hit on this one because when we were in the little 50s diner themed suite before the wedding, getting ready so that you wouldn't see Aaron, we have a chance to have our toast, whatever. John and I were just hanging around and we saw you go up to the wedding planner and say, hey, here's the 2 songs. They're on my phone. And as soon as you said that, me and John are like, they're going to fuck this up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's not handing him like a separate device. He's not handing him like a flash drive. Something. Oh, yeah, they're going to fuck this up. And we didn't step in to try and so I'm going to take the fault.
Oh, that is their fault as well, because I said, do I need to bring a disc? And they said, no. And I said, do I need to bring anything? And they said, no. You just tell us the songs. We can look it up. I'm like, great. And then I got there and they're like, oh, we meant for the reception. In the actual chapel, we don't have that kind of technology. I'm like, do you remember when I said, should I bring a disc? And you said, no. And they went, yes, I do. Do you have a phone?
You really fucked up on that.
Yeah.
But the Grim Reaper married you too. That was actually
really amazing.
Good. He was quite good.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
I had a great bit where I was sitting next to like an aunt or something of yours who seemed very straight-laced. And she was like, oh, this is interesting. I've never seen a wedding like this.
Fog machine, little clouds.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And they're like, the death person is marrying him. And I just gave her I looked over her completely straight face. And I was like, yeah, he didn't even really want the death guy to marry them. He had no interest in that whatsoever. He just said that the person marrying them has to have a raspier voice than he does. And this was the only person they had.
Did it get a laugh?
It did get a laugh.
All right, so I know what aunt it wasn't.
She enjoyed it.
Here's where you should have gone. If the aunt was older, you should have gone like, when she's like, oh, death is marrying them. What are you talking about? There's nobody standing there.
The guy hasn't come out yet.
What's funny is there is only one family member there that I know doesn't have a wide berth for humor.
Right.
She's the patriarch of the family, a very old aunt that is very traditional Irish Catholic. And I knew that already not being married in a Catholic church was already going to be a source of contention. But when the Grim Reaper came out and everything else, I just kept looking over at her and saw her just scowling, and it kind of made it better.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, yes. Of
course. You know, every time I've sat through a fucking 4-hour wedding in a stupid chapel, this is the revenge.
Yeah, this is mine. You know, every fucking family member I have. And now a reading from the Book of Corinthians. Ah!
I had another funny thing happen, which is a long time ago at a party you threw me for my birthday. My wife was pregnant when my birthday came around, and our good friend Brian Street Team, who is a porn star, and his wife, who works in a sex toy shop type company. They, as a pseudo-gag gift for my birthday, gave me a bunch of sex toys. And I was talking to him afterwards.
You've weaponized all of them.
I was talking to him. I was like, hey, one of those sex toys you gave me, my wife and I couldn't figure it out because it seems like your dick and balls are supposed to go through it, but like it's not... You'd have to really crank it. It seems dangerous. And
Brian's like, oh, that's a salad shooter. What the fuck are you guys doing?
I was like, so, like, because we got, my wife and I argued about it, and, like, she thought the balls didn't go in, and I thought they did, but I couldn't figure out how.
We had to get my dad involved.
Yeah. And
Brian's like, yeah, you need a third person for that one.
Yeah. And Street, not your balls.
Street Team and his wife, Lucy, were like, no, yeah, your balls are supposed to go through it. You got to be flaccid to start out with. And they gave me all the specifics of it. So they told me this as, like, basically during the wedding. The wedding gets out, and we're all outside the chapel waiting for you and Aaron to kind of like do the whole throwing rice at you, happy way to go married thing. And I call up Jill super excitedly from outside, and the first question she asks is, how was the ceremony? I was like, ceremony's fine, ceremony's fine. The balls go in! The balls go in!
I'm wearing it right now.
It's all I'm wearing.
Side note, don't ever put your balls in one of these things, because later when I tried it, it was excruciating to get out of and may have caused a torsion testicle. Don't ever use it. It's a horrible
idea.
You're
saying these things like I'm picturing, like, oh, I know what you're talking about.
You'll
have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm
going
to read his Amazon review on the product or something.
Now, listen, one thing I heard about at the wedding that I didn't experience myself is I heard the bartender was shitty.
The reception. That's where I saw most of the kind of like...
Sure.
Flaws in the wedding. We tried to hide as much of that from you as we could. We don't want them to worry about the shit, whatever. But we all file into the reception hall. Like, how many people are there? Like 100?
100.
Yeah. And so the bar's in the back. It's an open bar. Thank you very much for that, by the way.
No problem.
And so it's all of us, and we're waiting for you guys because you're doing your photos, what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
So we mosey up to the bar, and I hear someone like, oh, the bartender's not serving us yet. And so I'm like, that's weird. Okay. So I walk up. He's like, yeah, I'm not serving you guys yet. Not until the bride and groom get here.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, okay. And it didn't really register with me because I was just kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. So I walk away and I see a bunch of people waiting for drinks. I'm like, let me try this again. I'm like, hey, so can we get some drinks? He's like, no, not until the bride and groom show up. I don't want to get a rush. And I'm like, okay, but
wouldn't
like,
that cause more of a rush?
No, exactly.
That's like pinching a hose.
Right.
Yeah.
My first reaction.
I don't want
a
spurt coming out, so I'm going to pinch this hose.
Yeah. My first reaction was like, I really want a drink. Let me pull the wedding party card. I'm like, hey, we would just want to toast them as they come in. How about just drinks for the wedding party?
Yeah.
Nice job.
No, I can't do that. No, I don't want to cause a rush. And I'm like, it wasn't until I walked away. I'm like, you're going to get a rush because you're waiting. Yeah. You're not going to serve a dozen, 20 people beforehand.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy. So we waited for you to come in. You come in. Then the bar gets rushed.
Yes. Obviously.
So there was another girl back there. I was like, fuck this guy. I'm going to the girl. I'm going to get something from her. So she starts pouring the drinks. And again, open bar. She starts pouring the whiskey and keeps pouring, and I'm like, well, and she's like, tell me when. I'm like, when? Like, a fucking half, two shots ago.
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing me a favor.
No.
I'm not at a frat party trying to get shithoused off one drink.
Yeah.
Like, you're not hooking me up.
No, you're just
But she was doing that to everybody,
terrible.
Just like booze. Everybody's like, whoa, stop.
I was like, I'm glad I got my money's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But another thing the bartender did, he was yelling at some of the guests about not bringing their glasses back.
Oh, yeah, that happened to me,
because
he was running
too.
Out of glassware. And I can't remember what friend he was. It might have been Tiffany, but he was giving her shit about it. She was like, oh, I want a drink in this glass. He's like, I don't have enough glasses. You guys are supposed to bring them back. She's like, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
You guys need to be on this.
Yeah.
And the bartender, I think he said something like, we didn't expect you guys to drink this much. And she's like, again, not my problem.
Yeah.
Get on your fucking game.
You have an Irish horror-themed wedding, and you don't think there's going to be any drinking going on?
So the one bartender was rude, and the girl bartender was stupid.
Okay. And I was contributing a lot to that because, again, I was super baked. So they told me specifically every time I came up to get a beer, you need to bring this glass back. And I emphatically said, yes, sir, I will, and immediately forgot.
Yes. Yeah, and I said, too. And I'm the fucking groom, like, fronting the bill for all this, by the way. So when I come back, I'm like, yeah, give me a Pyramid Hefeweizen, please. The guy would be like, glass? I'm like, 12
grand? He would do it like that, like a fucking dick.
Yeah. I'm like, I dropped the same amount of money I spent on my car.
Yeah.
You will get my glass for me,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fuck you.
And then I had a little issue with how they treated you during the speech. Because you went up, I don't know if it was impromptu or you'd planned on doing it, but you made a speech to everybody.
Yeah.
Like towards the end of the reception, like, hey, I want to thank you guys. So first thing, they didn't turn off one of the scary animatronic monsters that was just going.
That was so good.
And that happened during Ashley's matron of honor speech,
too.
She had this heart heartfelt, like super tear jerking speech, and periodically through it, there was a Frankenstein monster that would go,
Yeah.
And the thing was, again, just like every other fuck up, I'd look at them like, could ya?
Yeah.
Like, any other fucking thing, like at a comedy show, if there's like a noise being going on while a comic's on stage, even though that wasn't planned, someone would be like, oh fuck, I'm on it. I'll get on that. Yeah. They're just like, I don't see a problem.
Yeah. And here's the thing, dude. I forget what speech it was. If it was Ashley's or yours later, but it probably was Ashley's, because early on, someone was doing a speech, and I started looking around. I'm like, nobody has champagne. It was like the first toast.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, oh shit. So I walk over there. I go to the bar. There's a table next to the bar with a shit ton of champagne glasses empty.
Yeah.
And a bunch of champagne bottles.
Yeah.
And there's one of the girls, one of the servers, standing next to the table.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, are you gonna pass this out? And she points. She's like, oh, here's the champagne. And I'm like, okay.
You're putting me to work?
I can't handle the room, but I'm going to get my table because we're the wedding bar. So I go to the bar. I grab a tray.
Yeah.
I go back to the table. I line up some glasses, start pouring champagne. I take that tray of drinks to our table so we can have champagne. The staff watches me do this and is like, huh. Look at the hustle on this guy.
Yeah. I like the Frankenstein.
I hope you can wash a dish as well as you can serve those drinks. I'll tell you that much.
I like the Frankenstein interrupting Ryan, because the entire time I was thinking as he's making this speech and the Frankenstein interrupts him, I just keep thinking of that dog interrupting you at that set we had at Bay Bridge.
I have the weirdest...
I'm like, you've been heckled by a dog. You've been heckled by an animatronic monster.
And you've been heckled by a guy who considers himself a professional wrestler.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That happens.
During your speech.
Yeah.
John Allen felt the need to make it about him. I forget what his quote-unquote zinger was, but at one point you were talking and he yelled something as if we're just at a party and he's going to be funny. Because you stopped your speech to tell him, said, John, for the last time, please shut up. You continue with your speech, at which John point, he was sitting at my table at that time. He wasn't sat there, but he was sitting there for the speech. At that point, John looks at me, he's like, that technically, this is the first time. I'm like, John, please shut the fuck up.
Technically. Yeah.
Then he interrupted you again when you're making fun of the seating chart. And he yelled something else. And we're all just like, John.
I think he pointed out that one of the people that I mentioned wasn't there.
Yes.
I'm like, not the time.
I saw you hang your head for just a half a second.
That may have been my fault, because he is a voice actor. He does a lot of voice work and stuff. And right after the wedding, I commented, hey, John, so Grim Reaper did a pretty good job, huh? I mean, do you ever get offended that maybe Ryan didn't ask you to take the position of the voice actor? And he's like, no, I didn't.
But it was a great reception. I mean, there are a couple minor things, but awesome. Fucking awesome. It was amazing. So much fun.
Cool.
Great group of people. Meeting some of your other friends was interesting.
Yeah, yeah, to say the least.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we went on our honeymoon to Cancun. It was great. No real complaints, no big stories. But however, on the way back, we changed planes in Houston to come back to San Diego. And on the flight home, I noticed that all the people surrounding me and Aaron had something in common. They were all around 19, wearing khakis and polo shirts, and had shaved heads and were holding envelopes. And my first thought was,
Trump supporter.
Cult. I'm like, oh shit, it's a fucking cult.
I gotta call Paige Wesley real quick.
Yeah, so, but then I took a closer look at the envelopes, and I see they all have the same thing on there. It's in Sharpie what appears to be their last names, and a little white label that says Marine Corps. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a fucking bummer. I was instantly bummed out, because here I am on my way back from this amazing honeymoon in Cancun to my awesome house in San Diego, where I'm gonna have a beer and watch Netflix and go on with my life, and everyone around me has just left everything they know, and they have no idea how much their life is going to fucking suck as soon as this plane lands, like right away.
Yeah.
So like, anyway, so I'm kind of bummed out about that. And this kid next to me, he looks particularly nervous. He's dipping into a soda can, which is fucking disgusting. Mm-hmm. But I asked him, like, so you going in, huh? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, you nervous? He's like, a little bit. He goes, you ever been in? I'm like, no, I haven't. He goes, oh, why? And I almost told him the real reason. And I stopped myself. I stopped myself and told him I made up a lie. I said heart condition. But I made up a lie because I can't tell him the real reason, because he's already on the plane.
Right.
He's already spent some of the fucking government's money. They own you.
Yeah.
There's no going back. It's too late. Because the real reason is, well, When I graduated high school, all my friends joined the Marines. And 1 week after they did, their lives started to fucking blow. And after they got out of basic training, they'd call me to come pick them up at Pendleton, where you're going. And the moment I'd pick them up on Friday to when I dropped them off on Sunday, they would spend every dime they had made and saved over the last 3 weeks spending it on alcohol to numb their reality because right. they hated their lives so much. And then they bought a fucking Mustang for 25% interest. And then they got really lonely. So they fucking, they called up some girl they went to high school with or met a stripper and married them immediately without yeah. even realizing what kind of person they were. And then they went to Afghanistan and they found out his new wife was fucking a bartender named Keith. And you know how they found out? Not because she told them, because the stupid bitch posted a thing on Facebook and he saw like Keith in the background in his bathrobe. And then she took him for all he was worth. And then he came home and his Mustang was gone. And so was she. Keith has that shit now. And then fucking he got out and he didn't have a penny to show for it. And all he had fucking was a GI Bill he'd never used and PTSD. And so now he sits around with a gun in his mouth drinking. And you might think I'm talking about like just one guy. I'm talking about all of my friends, all 15 of them, this exact fucking situation.
Man, Keith gets around.
But you'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
I couldn't say that.
Yeah, it is. It can be sad for those guys. Like, it's funny. They should really have better courses when you join the military in terms of specific stuff like that. Like, they encourage you to get married when you're in the military, which is so fucking stupid.
Yeah. Because
the last thing that's conducive to a good relationship is being shipped off overseas. And it's fine. I get it. If you're in your late 20s, early 30s, you figured your life out. You're a career military man or military woman, and you're going to go do it, and your family understands. Fine. You know when that doesn't work? When you're 19.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't work when you're 19 and you're the smartest kid in your class and you're super well-adjusted. Fuck it when you're going off and enlisting and going through hell in some kind of like crazy war scenario.
Yeah.
And they encourage it to the point where they pay you significant amounts of money extra if you are married. And so there's all these sham marriages in the military. In fact, a huge percentage of these young military men getting married are sham marriages where they have a financial agreement worked out. They get an extra, I think it's like $1,200 a month if they're married for their family expenses.
Well, let's not forget that that's the only way in some instances that you're allowed to live off base.
Yes, that's true.
So you can either live in a nice house that you decorate, or you can live in basically your high school classroom with a cot in it.
Yeah, yeah. And not only you get that $1,200, but then that girl, so they'll make a deal, you know, I'll take $900, you take $300, and also she gets free medical dental, and oh, yeah. Boom, look, everybody wins. And they don't tell you all the downsides, including the fact that it fucks your life up, because now you have this first marriage that can sometimes drown on too long, will affect your credit rating for the rest of your life, keeps you from living the life that you should be living,
yep.
Like a whole bunch of other stuff. They should encourage you not to get, they should penalize you. You should yeah. get less money if you get married.
That's it. You don't get a helmet in this war.
Yeah.
So, no. So that is actually what the conversation turned to. I'm like, now listen, I want you to remember two words. And he's like, what's that? I'm like, prenuptial agreement. So by the end of the flight, now given I was now on my sixth Jack and Coke because I bring my own little shot bottles.
He had written out a prenuptial agreement on the back of a napkin.
Yeah. I was like, all right, Spencer, what did we say? He's like, if she didn't have a job going in, no alimony going out. I'm like, perfect. What else do we say? No unlimited power of attorney. I'm like, very good. Hoorah! And then they landed the plane. I'm like, all right, now, good luck.
Yeah, that is true, and it's epidemic, and it's a way that another one of the ways we screw over our service members is that we encourage them to get married at a time when they shouldn't, and a time in their life when they shouldn't, and a time in their career when they shouldn't, and we pay them extra money and we give them incentives when we shouldn't be doing it. We should absolutely stop that.
Yeah.
I feel like the military does that with the goal in mind, being like, well, if they hate their marriage, they're not going to hate us. They'll blame the marriage for all their problems, not the military.
Hopefully they just do a murder-suicide in their home and don't bring a gun to the actual
base.
That's
going to save us 60 years of healthcare costs.
But anyway, so the, although I will say this about the honeymoon, is and Bobby, your wonderful wife recommended the spot for us. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. It was this all-inclusive resort. It was the most luxury that I've ever been exposed to in my entire life, because you pay a bunch of money up front and then you're just treated like a god.
Yep.
Because the American dollar goes way further down.
The American dollar, which you don't have to bring with you, because once you pay ahead of time, you pretty much just coast by on everything
else. Yep. Well, they gave me my own butler as part of the thing.
Oh.
And I was not comfortable with it.
Yeah, I could not do that.
You just, hello, Master Shores. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's just weird, dude.
The guy's like coming by, like, do you want me to bring you a bottle of champagne and a towel? I'm like, please just let me get it myself.
Yeah. I know exactly how you feel.
This is slightly homoerotic.
I feel bad enough when a waiter comes to my table more than three times. Like, yeah. I couldn't handle, and it's funny, I always see other people, I get jealous of how comfortable certain people are with luxury. Like, there are people who, because they were raised with that happens, and they're totally smooth with it. They're cool. I feel like they handle it the way James Bond would fucking handle it. And I'm just sitting there like, stop here. Can I carry that for you? Stop carrying it.
Yeah, see,
everything.
I go the other way. I'm like, those people are too comfortable. I'm like, fuck those people. Like, when someone's telling the bellhop to grab his bags, I don't let the bellhop take my bags at a hotel.
Right.
I'm like,
yeah,
no, I got
way.
This. There's someone else like Boston bellhop, and I'm like, you think you're better than him? You think you're better than him?
Well, at the restaurants, fine cuisine, I noticed, like, the table next to me, I think a French couple, the waitress took their napkin from them and laid it across their lap, and they were both fine.
Oh,
they're like,
God.
Perfect, thank you. Yeah. Like, it was just expected. She went to go get my napkin. I slammed my hand on top of hers like a poker player.
Yeah.
Where the wrong guy was about to take the pot. Like, I don't think so. You fucking drop it. I'm putting my own napkin on. Thank you.
There is that comfortableness with luxury that I'm always...
I don't have that.
Yeah, I don't have it in the slightest, and I'm always a little jealous of the people who do. Because when you're in those situations, I get incredibly uncomfortable. It's not just like, hey, I'm not a fan of this. It's like, this makes me really, really uncomfortable. And so the way people seamlessly, easily transition through that, I always feel like it's just so classy, and I just don't have that in me.
Huh? Well, you know, the thing is, you shouldn't envy them, and I'll tell you why. It's because when that's stripped away for them, they have almost no survival skills.
Yeah.
They don't know how to function without it. I'll give you a perfect example. Like, I was leaving a gig in Philadelphia, and I don't know if you ever traveled to the Philadelphia airport. Ugh, it's the worst. But anyway, I don't know why or what it is about Philadelphia's airport, but the security line is longer than any other airport I've ever traveled through.
Huh.
Now, a guy in front of me, obviously a richer guy, I just tell by the way he spoke, the way he dressed, his luggage was like designer. And,
the fact that he was throwing $100 bills in the air.
No, and the thing is, I don't know how this guy is used to traveling, but he could not handle the fact he was being inconvenienced. He's like, he looks up at the line and goes, will I be ushered to the front of that line? And the lady behind this is like, of course not. Why would someone do that for you? And he's like, will someone be taking my luggage through the airport? Like, who? No. Like,
that's why I hate those people.
About?
Fucking entitlement. I fucking hate that so much.
And this guy was just being devastated by every blow of no one's going to cart my luggage for me. No one's going to usher me to the front of the lines. No one's going to wipe my ass. This is all chaos.
Should have been like, yes, I'm actually here to take your luggage. You grab it. You chuck it out of line. Now he has to go out of line. No. He's back at the end.
No, better. You're like, yes, I'm going to usher you to the front of the line. Grab his luggage. Take him around a corner. Sock him and just steal his shit.
No. I was thinking more along the lines of, I'll be your sky captain, and I will be waiting for you at the gate with these bags,
right,
and just take it to the restroom and just rifle through them. Look at these fucking socks.
It's funny you bring up airports. I had a funny situation this week where I went to go pick up my wife from the airport, and I've never had this happen before, and I realized just how insanely embarrassing it is. The way our house is situated is our TV, our like living room TV, is at the front of the house. We have these big windows. When the blinds are open, you can see the TV from the street very easily. It's incredibly prominent. In fact, like if you are walking by, driving by, anything, you can see this big screen TV from the outside very easily. And
Bobby's out on his lawn telling people not to look through his window. Hey, no!
Hey, get on! I was just watching something on like cable, watching a movie, something like that. I had the blinds open. We have one of those metal screen doors, so I had the regular wood door open to get the air through. I go pick my wife up, and I just
kind of. What time is it?
It's 9:30-ish when I leave the house. Leave the TV on so that the dogs have something to keep them occupied with. I leave the TV going. I come back. I pick my wife up 10-something. We get back about 10:30. As we pull up, we can see this from down the block. There is just pornography playing on the TV. There is a woman topless riding a dude screaming coming through the sound system. And you can see
it. You got a pretty nice sound system, too.
Yeah, you can see it and hear it from down the block. And she's like, my wife just looks at me like, what? what were you doing? What is this?
I was now,
there is a
porn.
There is a bunch of kids on the front lawn on blankets, like it's some kind of outdoor festival.
That's the thing. I have three nieces next
door. It's
like
the Hollywood Forever Cemetery movie night.
I live in a neighborhood with a shitload of kids. There's a dozen kids within like 100 feet of where I live.
Not only that, there is an old folks retirement community across the road.
Everybody can see this that is driving by, and they couldn't even avoid it. Like with the sound and with everything. If you are anywhere on this block, you are seeing this. My wife's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I was watching a regular movie.
I thought you'd like this, honey. What?
And what had happened was it did that cable transition where at 10 p.m. it goes from, okay, we're showing the Shawshank Redemption to like we're showing Debbie Does Dallas. And you don't know and you're gone. And so you have the TV playing. I essentially ruined or improved the lives of many of the children on my block.
The funny thing about this is there's a lot of unfair, I'm going to say, ways that you can get put on the Megan's Law website.
Like if peeing in public.
Peeing in public, because that's indecent exposure.
Right.
So it would be hilarious if Bobby got nailed for this somehow. Someone complained, and now Bobby has to go door to door. I was playing softcore porn through my window.
Here's the thing, that I was playing a regular movie. Anytime it starts that way, it never actually started that way.
I was playing this regular movie.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. I know you didn't want to talk too much about your honeymoon, but there was one thing that I thought was hilarious that you posted. When you were at a pool, I think, one of the resorts, you were talking to one of the bartenders. Apparently, one of the bartenders started to freak out. Like, he said, oh, one of the gringos is playing with the local animals.
Right, yes. Well, what happened, now, you guys know my wife loves animals of all kinds.
Oh, yeah.
She's one of those idiots that wants to hug a great white shark. They look cuddly at from some angles. But anyways, I was sitting at the swim-up bar, which, by the way, I'd never been to a swim-up bar before.
Dude, how awesome are those bars?
It's amazing how much more you can drink when you don't have to get up to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
When you're not encumbered by gravity, you can drink so much more.
So I'm sitting there having a Mai Tai, and all of a sudden I hear the commotion by the pool. I turn around, and there's like some people like looking at someone off near the jungle, because the resort is on a jungle.
Right.
I'm like, what the hell? And like, the bar just freaking out. I was like, some local gringa, she's petting a wild animal. They bite. He like her, but they bite. And I'm like, who the fuck would be crazy enough? I turn around. Sure enough, there's Erin with what's called a coati in her lap.
Yeah.
And she is petting. It is basically a Mexican trash raccoon. That it's like a distant cousin, only more vicious and dangerous. You're definitely not supposed to touch these motherfuckers. And there it is, like laying on its back, and it's tummy rubbed by Erin. And I'm like, babe, step away from the wild fucking animal. She's like, it likes me. I'm like, until it doesn't.
We're going to take it home.
Yeah. And then came the spider monkey. She tried to pet a fucking spider monkey. Those things are vicious.
Yeah, those are mean. Oh, Jesus.
Did you actually get attacked by it? Because I will tell you, a spider monkey came on our boat when we were in the Yucatan, and it jumped on the boat. It was clearly used to tourists. It stole a bunch of food and jumped off, and one of the tourists was trying to, like, he's like, oh, give me back my granola bar. The guide had to be like, no, he's going to maul you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, better guide than I had on one of my tours. We did a little scuba diving tour.
Right.
And it became immediately obvious this guy was just fucking bullshitting his way through this thing. Like, I'm sorry. I've been a public speaker for almost a decade. I can tell when someone's just going off the top of their fucking head. And so we did this scuba diving tour of like these caves that are partially underground. Really cool. But as he's going, he's like, these caves were sacred to the Mayans. They thought these were holy ground caves. Maybe, I don't know.
It could be.
And like, as he's saying this, like, oh, the tradition of swimming in these waters has been passed down since the Mayans. And like, as he's saying that, I pass a plaque that said this cave was founded in 1995. I saw it. I'm like, what do you mean passed down? Since when? The post-grunge era?
It's funny is that's super, super common. I've encountered this multiple times whenever I travel. So the first time I encountered this was when I was on my field school as an undergrad, and we went to Peru, and we were at Machu Picchu, And we had one of these guides, and he goes around and he starts talking about what the Inca did and stuff. And he's like, and this was a sacred place where they did sacrifices. And our professor, who has a PhD in Inca studies and has been studying Inca his entire career and is one of the leading Inca researchers, just looks at him and goes, no, it isn't. That's not at all what this is. This is a ceremonial grinding area, you asshole. Yeah. And the guy was like, well, you know, sometimes. And then it later happened to me. I went down to Mexico. We went to a Mayan site in Lamanai, and a guy did another one. It was around 2012, and he was trying to pull the whole Mayan calendar apocalypse thing. And I was like, no, it's just the end of their long count, bro. That's not what that meant. And he was like, well, yeah, you know, mysteries, mysteries.
Agree to disagree.
And it's similar to Stolen Valor. When you catch them in it, you're like, I caught you, you motherfucker. How long have you been playing this on people who didn't know any better?
See, now I disagree. I am on the side of the tour guide. If I had a job where I had to deal with asshole tourists constantly, even at beautiful plays, amazing stuff, I would make shit up just to see what I could get them to believe.
The problem is that gets perpetuated through people, and then they come up later on. They're like, no, the Mayan apocalypse is real. We had a guy down there, and he's a professor in Mayan down there, and he told us about it.
He also said this wild stuff about the earth being flat.
Yeah, let me give you a hint, and you guys will see this a lot. If you go on a tour in any of these places, this happens in Europe, this happens in Central and South America a lot, and somebody claims that they're a professor, like an archaeology professor or professor of studies in that area, 99% of time, they're completely full of shit. They're only saying that because you have no ability to check on it.
I did want to, like, I don't know, set the guy up to fail a little bit, like, you know, pull a necklace out of my pocket and be like, hey, look what I found. What is this? Well, that would be an ancient Mayan shark tooth necklace out here.
The people you get are just the regular tour guides, but they know that you'll never call them on it for two reasons. One, you don't know any better. And two, you'll feel kind of racist being like, really? You're the professor?
Wait, yeah.
But I just ran into three other professors of Egyptian archaeology here.
Well, I did kind of get to do that with sharks while I was over there, because it's on the Gulf of Mexico, which I know for a fact is a fucking hotbed for bull sharks, which are very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
And anyways, while the one of the, I don't know, hotel staff were talking to us about the swimming spots, I'm like, he's like, oh, and while you're here, you should swim with the bull sharks. And I'm like, that's fucking dangerous.
Why would I do that?
I'm like, why? And he goes, oh, no, bull sharks don't attack humans. I'm like,
they're responsible for the most of the human attacks.
I'm like, they are one of the four that do. And I'm like, they have the most testosterone of any living animal on this planet. He's like, well, yeah.
Well, that's the Vitor Belfort. I mean.
Yeah. But so here's the thing. But that kind of bit me in the ass. Well, I think I got karma more along the lines. It's because I went out to the ocean, to the swimming area. I see a line of buoys around where people are swimming. And almost anywhere else, that means netting. Right. That means, oh shit, shark necks.
Right.
How smart, because this is like great hunting ground for fucking bull sharks, and this is like a tourist area where they want to protect their tourists. So I went, look, Aaron, those are shark nets. She goes, no shit. I'm like, no shit. She goes, want to swim out to them? And I went, yes, I do. We swam out right to them, and I felt like invincible, like, ha-ha, you cannot get me here, sharks.
Try it, sharks. I got a magic shark wall in front of me.
And then I swam back to shore with Aaron. I talked to the guy. I'm like, yeah, we swam into the shark nets. He goes, there's no nets on those. That's just a marking area. There's nothing below those. So he's like, you shouldn't swim out that far, sir.
There's sharks out there, you idiot.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I remember just me splashing around, like, come and get me. Hey, I'm gonna cut myself a little bit. See, like, get
let's
a real
chum these waters.
Yeah.
So Shores became the quote-unquote experts. Like, oh, there's netting there, babe. We got this.
No, I was the Inca professor, motherfucker.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe those guys don't know any better, and someone needs to call them out.
Yeah, I think so. Last thing that happened on the honeymoon is we decided Erin likes to go to she's a fan of a good strip club once in a while.
Nice.
And they got some good ones over there in Cancun. I expected when we got there just to be a run-of-the-mill strip club. We've all been to Tijuana, like, you know, just a little dirty hole in the wall. Upscale place. Dudes were wearing suits. It was crazy. Erin takes a pill of ecstasy and decides, you know what? Let's get bottle service. I'm like, what?
Wow.
She's like, send me a woman. And I'm like, and now these people, because she is blowing money. Like, wow. I'm like, the next day, I'm like, don't even tell me how much you spent. But like that night, she's going nuts. She has this girl on her lap. They're making out. She keeps ordering bottle service with sparklers. People are bringing us flaming shots. I'm sitting next to her like, who are you? I love it. I love it, whoever you are. I think I made it. I'm like the one guy that on his honeymoon didn't have any buyer's remorse.
Nice.
Anyway, let's call it a week. Before we go, me and Dave have a gig coming up in Phoenix, Arizona on November 10th at Toso's Bar. So check me and Dave out there. November 10th, Phoenix, Arizona, Toso's Bar. We'll see you there. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos.
The balls go in!
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Ooh, motherfucking time is passing by.
They bite! They bite! He like her, but they bite!